Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the Order of Preachers around the world. Today is Saturday of week 12 in Ordinary Time, and from England we hear from Father Ewan Marley, who is prior of the St. Michael's Priory, the Blackfriars in Cambridge. Father Ewan's preaching is entitled, Three Conversations with God.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus went into Capernaum, a centurion came up and pleaded with him. Sir, he said, my servant is lying at home paralyzed and in great pain. I will come myself and cure him, said Jesus. The centurion replied, Sir, I am not worthy to have you under my roof. Just give the word, and my servant will be cured. For I am under authority myself, and have soldiers under me. And I say to one man, go, and he goes, to another, come here, and he comes. To my servant, do this, and he does it. Jesus heard this, he was astonished, and said to those following him, I tell you solemnly, nowhere in Israel have I found faith like this. I tell you, many will come from east and west to take their places with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be turned out into the dark, where there will be weeping and grinding of teeth. To the centurion Jesus said, go back then, you have believed, so let this be done for you. And the servant was cured at that moment. Going into Peter's house, Jesus found Peter's mother-in-law in bed with fever. He touched her hand and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. That evening they brought him many who were possessed by devils. He cast out the spirits with a word and cured all who were sick. This was to fulfil the prophecy of Isaiah. He took our sicknesses away and carried our diseases for us. The Gospel of the Lord. Today's readings are actually about conversations. Both readings, the first reading which I didn't read was from Genesis, but the very famous story of the three men who come to visit Abraham, who then somehow become God speaking to Abraham. And that's quite simply a conversation with God. And they say that Elizabeth, the wife of Abraham, will have a child called Isaac. And she laughs at the absurdity because she's so old. I think most people listening to this site would know that story. I hope you would know the story. The Gospel also is a very well-known story, and it's also a conversation with God. Except, of course, things have changed. We now have a conversation between two human beings, one of whom is God. And they are conversations, and they're conversations in language, in words, in the way that human beings speak to each other. Human beings didn't invent speech. We know that because we're Christians, and we know that in the beginning was the Word. The original speech is the speech of the Trinity, a perfect speech. So perfect that in one word, the Father expresses his entirety. He says everything that ever could be said about anything. The Word and the Spirit. This perfect language is beyond our imagination. If we think we can imagine it, we're simply wrong. But human beings speak in a different way. We use what we have invented in a way. Noise. The modulations of sounds or animal sounds to represent words. And once we did that, we later learned how to represent those sounds or the meaning of those sounds in writing or drawings. The drawing doesn't have to represent the sound, of course. Chinese doesn't. Chinese represents ideas, as does Egyptian hieroglyphs. But it's still a kind of language. It's an instrument we've created. Which is why the Gospel reading is interesting, because here God is talking to a human being as a human being in the humanity of Christ. It's still a conversation with God, but it's not the Trinitarian conversation as such. The curious thing about human language is that it's an instrument, certainly a tool we've invented, but of its nature, it's a tool that only works when two people are using that tool, that instrument. There has to be a speaker and a hearer, or in written language, a writer or a reader. But the instrument is only working when both are involved in its use. You use tools for a purpose, but this tool is a tool that doesn't work at all unless there's two people using it, at least two people, perhaps two groups. Which is why we have conversation. Conversation is the nature of language in its essence. We can speak to ourselves, of course, we can talk out loud, that's a way of thinking. But then we're hearing ourselves. And strangely enough, that's actually more like the Trinity. That's more like the Trinitarian speech, which is perfectly said and perfectly heard and perfectly understood and perfectly expressed in the three persons. The great word, the great language, before anything was created. So it's interesting that conversation is difficult for human beings, and it's also not something we're in control of. This sermon I'm preaching, this homily, if it's heard by somebody, will be heard probably, well, certainly, I'd say, in a different way from what I think I'm saying. That's fine. That's the point of language. You say something and somebody else hears it. The comedian tells a joke, most people laugh, but not everybody laughs at the same level, not everybody enjoys the joke at the same level. Some people might not get the joke at all. Conversation accepts that we do not make people hear what we think we're saying, but rather we speak and they hear. We speak as we can and they hear as we can. But as I keep saying, that's not the way God speaks. The perfect speech of God isn't like that. So why does God descend into the speech of human beings? Well, obviously because he chooses to become a human being. Also because that limited conversation has a strength for us, because in its limitations we are forced to reach out to each other, we are forced to try to understand, we are forced to try to express what we are to each other. And the fundamental, ultimate purpose of speech, its beginning and its end, is communication, is that becoming one, belonging to each other. It's a unity. Just like the unity of the Trinity is perfect, so we too seek a perfect unity. The conversations are about the things of life, about childbirth, the three who become one in the Genesis. You can choose that to be an image of the Trinity if you like, I do, even though it's not understood in the original context, but it is a sign of that three in one. And it's interesting, you see something of God's power in the fact that the three or the one in Genesis know that Elizabeth was laughing. Presumably she's not immediately present, she's not near shot. They don't need conversation, but they do need us to understand what they're saying. And the story of Abraham is not just a story of the call of Abraham. I think implicitly or subtly hidden in its meaning is that coming of Christ, because God, by talking to a human being like a human being, is already preparing us for the fact when God will finally speak to us as a human being, as just Jesus, the Son of Mary, who will always be human, who will always be with us as part of our humanity. So we look at the conversations. We have a conversation with Abraham, we have a conversation between the centurion, and an earlier conversation that we miss in this reading, the day before, when Christ speaks to the Jewish leper. It was rather insulting. He says, "If you wish, you can heal me." Christ simply says, "I do wish." The centurion, on the other hand, is much more
polite, much more obedient, and quite simply has greater faith. It's interesting, though, that he understands the power of words. Speak with a word, he says literally, and my son will be healed, or my servant. There's two ways of translating that. And he says this and says, you know, I have power, which is speech. I tell people to do things and they do it. That's a form of speech. It's not the best form of speech, commands, orders. It's necessary. Necessary, particularly in a time of war or danger, or in a time when we have to get something done which requires explicit instructions. Say in the world of medicine, where the doctor has to speak to the patient or to the assistants in the surgery, during surgery. Or perhaps, say, in a nuclear power station, where really you have to start telling people what to do. It's a very limited sort of speech in one way, but it's very necessary too. And yet, that command is very closely bound to the idea of healing. Christ heals by command. He tells the centurion what to do. Just as Jesus said, I'm in power, I tell someone go and he goes. Christ says go. Go back. Your faith has healed you. Or more literally, as you believe, let it become to you. And because Christ is God, his power is not limited as ours is by being within earshot or within the range of sound. He heals the servant in that hour. And then I think the gospel ends with another interesting moment, which might not seem relevant to this, but we've had the Jewish leper, who's rather insulting, who is in the Jewish world, and now we have this pagan, and yet has greater faith than the Jewish leper. Then there's a third miracle, a third presence, Peter's mother-in-law. It's interesting, she says no words. She doesn't say anything to Christ. Maybe she can't, maybe the fever's causing her to be raving, but the point is Christ doesn't have to be asked. She doesn't have to ask him. Peter doesn't have to ask him. He simply knows. And he takes her by the hand. And in taking her by the hand, that's a sort of very basic speech. Sort of speech sometimes we have to do. Sometimes when it's very hard to communicate with somebody, the only thing you can do is touch them. Perhaps place your hand on your shoulder. In this case, he lifts her up. That's showing that the speech isn't necessarily language as such. It's rather that Christ sharing himself, giving himself. He heals her. Then she goes up and she serves him. Some people misremember that. They think she serves the household. No, she serves him. She's deacon to him. They are communicating in another way. And she serves him because she wishes to be with him. She is a follower. She is a disciple. As we serve the Christ. And then we have the spirits cast out afterwards. Once again it says, with a word he cures them. And with the last words of the story, which are the words of Isaiah, which are words about Christ. Words that proclaim Christ to the world. He took our sickness away and carried our diseases for us. That's what Isaiah said. And the saying becomes true, becomes action, it becomes a fact, becomes reality. Just as the word of God that creates everything. God said, let there be light. That words create in the way in the reality. Not that Isaiah creates Christ, of course, but God fulfills his work through Isaiah. By speaking through Isaiah, he is speaking what will happen. The important thing is all these conversations, like all conversations, have only one purpose. Unity, communication, sharing, belonging to each other, being of each other. The conversation of God in Christ in this world. And not the light final word, it's not the end of his speaking. Come a time when he will speak to us perfectly and fully and completely in heaven. We'll speak to each other perfectly and fully and completely, because we will be one.